Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of For You From Eve. We are back with a guest episode today, and you guys know I've been jamming you guys with solo episodes recently, so I'm so excited to have a guest back at it today. We're going to be talking all about planning, organizing your life, making your time more efficient, the influencer world, all that great stuff, and launching a brand. So I'm very excited to have Hannah here today. Hannah, would you like to do a little introduction on who you are and what you do?
Yeah, thank you for having me, Olivia. I've also been loving your series where you've been posting every day in January. It's insane. But hi, everyone. I'm Hannah Ashton, and I am a YouTuber and content creator and also the founder of a stationery brand called Dream Daily. I kind of started my YouTube career pretty young, as many girls online did. I started with an American Girl Doll channel when I was like 10 years old and just loved creating content and videos and connecting with girls with similar interests online. And then that just went throughout high school and into college and now in post-grad. Obviously, my content changed a little from being like an American Girl Doll YouTuber to what I do now, but mostly the content I create now is based around lifestyle and also like productivity, how to set up morning routines, how to be the best version of yourself, and also entrepreneurship, because I started my brand Dream Daily in college. And so that's a big part of my life now too. And then, yeah, just a little personal bit. I live in Nashville, Tennessee, and I'm 24 years old. So any other girls out there in Nashville, hit me up because it's a fun time. And I know everyone's so open to always hanging out and meeting up with each other here. But
yeah,
yeah, it's a little about me.
I always wanted to go to Nashville. I actually didn't know you started so early on. And I feel like the time that you started is the time that people, at least like even for me that I started now, I wish I had started so far back. But I think that because it wasn't so common, people kind of looked at it differently. So how did you kind of have, I guess, the courage and confidence to start your journey on social media and YouTube while also being in school with a bunch of people who were going to see that content?
Yeah, it is kind of crazy thinking about it because it was so weird. I think now it's more common for people to post little TikTok vlogs or to have a YouTube channel, to post on Instagram, all cute. But at the time, I started with like a makeup blog as well when I was in school, like along with doing YouTube. And everyone thought it was very interesting. No one understood it. They were like, what are you doing? Like posting videos in your room to YouTube. But what helped is I did go to a small school growing up. And so it was like less intimidating maybe in that fact, where everyone just kind of knew me. They knew I was a dreamer. They knew I liked, you know, all these different things. I liked digital creation and editing. And they just, that's just who I was all growing up. I was just like the YouTube girl. Like that was my personality. And so I think that helped in the fact that I just from an early age was like, this is what I like. This is who I am. I'm going to be proud of that. And I'm sure people said stuff behind my back. I never heard of anything, which also helped not having that. And online hate wasn't as big either. I feel like the online community was really positive and social media was a really positive place, you know, back in like 2012, 2013. So I was just diving into that and being like, this is such a positive space online. Even if people are saying stuff around me, I'm going to focus on what's good.
Yeah. And that's such a hard mentality to have. I went to like a pretty small school too, but even if I were, if like anyone posted anything social media, it was like people were talking about it. So I never had the courage to like follow through with it. I want to talk a little bit about Dream Daily and how you started it in college, because starting a business in college, that's where I started my podcast as well. And it is not easy at all. So talk to us a little bit about Dream Daily, how you kind of got into the space and kind of how you even gained that motivation. And then also how you did it while balancing school as well.
For sure. So the idea for Dream Daily came because early in college, my content that was performing really well was about like productivity, time management. That also was my niche that took off in high school. So I kind of knew going into college, I wanted my niche on YouTube to focus more on that like lifestyle. Here's my life in college, but with a twist of like, here's the skill set that I grew in high school with how to manage my days and how to, you know, get my workouts in and work on my self-growth and all these things. So I incorporated that into my content and people loved it. People in my classes were like, wait, how do you wake up early and like edit a YouTube video and then go to class and get all your homework done and get good grades? And I was like, okay, I am thankful that I learned these skills in high school through podcasts and reading and trying them out for myself. Now I have this skill set in college, but I want to teach other students how they can have a successful day as well. And so along with my content, I decided I wanted to make a physical product. I had the idea curling my hair like a freshman year, first semester. I think that's just the entrepreneur in me. I was like, okay, I'm in college. I have my YouTube channel, but I want to do something else too. Like I'm getting bored here. So I decided I wanted to create a product. I didn't know what it was going to look like or what it was going to be called, but I just knew I wanted it to be like one place where a college student can manage all things, because other planners on the market at the time, they like only saw you as just a student, and fellow students know you do so much more than just school. A lot of us have jobs, side hustles, extracurriculars, your own personal goals. And so I wanted a place where individuals could manage all of that in one book. And so it ended up being called the Dream Achieve Workbook, which is still one of our best-selling planners today. It's a 6-month undated planner and goal-setting workbook in one. And I had that idea, like I said, beginning of freshman year. I worked on it all throughout freshman year and then launched it the summer before my sophomore year. So took about 9 to 10 months of ideation and everything. And we can get into like my actual strategy for building a business in college, but that's kind of the overview of why I started it.
That's awesome. And yeah, I feel like when I'm a big planner girl, like Google Calendar, planner, to-do list, like if it's not written down in front of me, I'm forgetting about it. So like a lot of my friends will make fun of me because I put everything in my Google Calendar. Like even if my friend's like, let's go get our nails done Saturday at 2, it's in my calendar because I will forget. So I do think the importance of planning is just, it's crazy in college when you have all these different things going on and you're trying to optimize your time. So when it comes to planning, what would you say if someone's listening to this and they don't really use a planner or Google Calendar, what would kind of be your way of convincing them as to why it's so crucial?
Well, first off, I am right there with you. I use a system of Google Cal and a physical planner. Like I use Google Calendar for things that involve other people, like setting up this podcast recording. Like we both need to see it on our calendars. And so it's amazing for that. Or planning months and months in advance where I need to book a flight for, you know, June. And I have that on there, so I know and remember. But I think having a paper planner in front of you is so crucial in the fact that it is like your own personal space. Just having something that's not digital, we're so much on our phones, so much on our computers, having a place where you can like turn to plan out your day, track your habits, make your schedule. It just gives you that little boost of motivation in the morning, and it allows you to like think more inwardly instead of thinking about, okay, my inbox, like this is what everyone else needs from me. It's like, this is what is good for me. And what I need to do is in this space and this physical product that no one else has access to. And they also say, like studies show, and I learned this in college, that if you write down with pen and paper, you're more likely to remember something versus typing it or just talking about it. And so that's crucial as well. And then for college students specifically, I remember there was so much to keep track of in college. You know, remember those like first day of the semester and they give you the whole syllabus and all your assignments and you leave and you're like, I thought this was going to be easy because it's syllabus week, but now I am so overwhelmed and I don't think I'm going to make it this semester. And so having a physical planner where I literally would go in each month and each week and fill in the assignments at the start of that semester, so I knew what was coming. I was never surprised by a paper or a project. It really helped me have like a clearer mindset going into college, because there's so much you have to keep track of there.
There is. And I'm the same way. Like I'm in school, I'm doing the podcast. I also like nanny. I work at a elementary school. Like there's a million different categories in my planner. So like in order for me to actually have time to breathe or go to the gym or hang out with friends, it's like it all has to be written down. Well, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, we're going into the new year. I think a lot of people are setting their goals or trying to be consistent with goals. I want to talk all about achieving your goals, how to remain consistent with the habits that lead to your goals, and how can someone kind of decide what goals to set for themselves. Whether it's like, I feel like a lot of the time we set very unrealistic goals and then we don't achieve them and we kind of knock ourselves down. So what does goal setting kind of mean to you, and how would you advise someone to start setting their goals?
I love this topic, especially at the beginning of the year, because I think we all have that motivation and then it's so easy to lose it. Yeah. I go into very specific detail about this on my YouTube channel. So if any of you like are listening to this and you're like, oh, I want to listen to that again or want a visual, Hannah Ashton is my YouTube channel. And I have so many videos in January about goal setting and you can visualize it more. But basically I say like a step-by-step process is to, okay, first, yes, think of your whole year. It's the new year. It's fun to visualize these resolutions, make a cute vision board, be really specific with your vision board, with the goals that you have for yourself. So I let myself write, you know, maybe like 10 to 12 goals for the whole year. Like it's a lot, but then we narrow it down. So then I look at the next 6 months and I write down, okay, from this big list of goals that I have and from my vision board, what do I feel like is the most important that I really want to focus on first in this new year? And I put that as a 6 month goal. Like, so I'll write maybe five or six 6 month goals. Then I even break it down further into quarterly goals, which a quarter is just 3 months. You know, there's quarter one, two, three, four of the year. And I feel like this is really helpful in the fact that it's not a month because we know how quickly the months fly by. But it's also not like a year or 6 months out. You still have check-ins with yourself these four times throughout the year at the different quarters. And so once you kind of figure out, okay, what am I now going to work on? Maybe one, two, three goals for the next 3 months. What's most important? You choose those. And then I have this whole system where I look at my goals, if they're a project goal versus a habit goal. So like a project goal would be like starting a podcast. Like there's a lot of little tasks that have to get done to accomplish this goal. And so I kind of go after those goals separately than a habit goal, which may be like working out every day or journaling every day or waking up at 6 a.m. That's a habit goal that is you do it once and you repeat it, and that's how you know, you achieve it. So I kind of then categorize my goals in what's a project, what's a habit, and I'm able to be like, okay, this is how I can then actually create a strategy to then put these goals and habits into my daily routine and into my life to actually achieve them. So like I said, I know that's a lot of if you need a visualization of it, and I talk about like we can go into this if you want, but like how to achieve that project goal versus achieving a habit goal.
Yeah,
But
I would
yeah.
actually love to get into that because when you said that you categorize it project goal versus habit goal, I was like, wow, I've never had anyone kind of refer to it that way, but it makes so much sense. It's like a habit goal, like you said, is like working out or eating clean, whereas a project goal, it's like, I want to get straight A's. And then it's like, okay, well, what do you have to do to get there? So I do want you to dig a lot deeper kind of into those categories.
Perfect. Yeah. I kind of thought of the two different goals a few years ago and talked about it on YouTube, and it really resonated with a lot of people because it's more manageable. And so, yeah, I've been sharing this, like I said, YouTube, workshops, all the things for a while, and people really seem to like it. So, basically, for a project, you are going to think of your end result, make it very specific. So let's just use the example of starting a podcast because that's a fun one. So if your goal is to start a podcast, make the end date, like when you want to achieve it, by very specific. So maybe it's by the end of quarter one, you want to have your first episode up. So by March 30th, have the first episode up. Then what you're going to do is brainstorm all the little tasks needed to accomplish that project. So this is where Google comes in, DMing people and being like, oh, like what do I need to start a podcast? Or you know, at starting my business, I Googled everything, or asked like older students. Like, you have to do tons of research usually when you have a big project like this. And so you're going to write out all those little tasks. It may be overwhelming, but it's okay. Just like get it all out on paper, brainstorm every little thing. And what's even better is if you can break those tasks into things that can be done in 30 minutes. So maybe you need to have a photographer do your podcast cover shoot. Well, you can break that one task into research photographers, message photographer, send or pay invoice for photographer, book the photo shoot date. Like you can divide these up and be really specific so that you kind of have a game plan for what needs to get done. And more tasks will be added as you go. Like you'll figure things out that you're like, oh, I didn't realize I needed to do that. And this list will continue to ebb and flow. But then how you're going to actually make this happen for your project goal is you have to schedule in 30 minutes a day or however much you can into your daily routine. So for some people, if you're a morning person, maybe that's waking up 30 minutes earlier and, you know, with your coffee sitting down at your desk and you start working on that task list. Maybe you have an hour lunch break that you only need 30 minutes of to eat. And so you can work on your goals for that other 30 minutes. Maybe it's at the end of your day. Maybe you have no time in your week. You're like, can't I have a crazy work schedule? All good. Dedicate maybe a few hours on Sunday to working towards it. So figure out like your life, your schedule, and you just have to put in daily or weekly time to work on that big task list and you just start checking things off. So it's very simple, but it's like having that game plan going into it. It's not just like, I want to start a podcast. I don't know where to start. Or maybe you wake up early one day and you're like, okay, I'm going to work on my goals. But then you don't have that task list that's broken down and easy to check off. And so you just waste that time like scrolling on your phone. So I feel like having the game plan, putting it in your daily routine really helps achieve that. Like when I was in college, this is how I started Dream Daily was I had 8 a.m.s all my first year, as most freshmen do. And so I literally had to wake up at like 6:30. I'd work on Dream Daily for 30 minutes to an hour every morning, get ready, and then go to my first class. And yeah, it sucked waking up that early, but I just made it happen because I was like, I really want to start this business. I really want to create this product for me and my audience. And so I'm going to put in the extra time every day until it's accomplished.
Yeah, and I love how you're kind of talking about write it down, because when you kind of just let things float in your head, it seems so much more overwhelming and it seems like you have so much more to do. But when you write it down and you categorize it and you break it down into, okay, like you said, the photo shoot, okay, the photographer, the studio, the this, the that, it's like you're breaking everything down and it makes it a lot less overwhelming. And this way it's more manageable for you. And I feel like when we let these things float in our heads, or we put like a million tasks in our heads, we're like, okay, never mind. I'm not even going to start because I don't even know where to start. Whereas when you write it down, it's like, okay, this is very realistic. This is manageable. And then also I love how you kind of talked about, you have a class at 8 a.m. You'd wake up just to spend that extra 30 minutes or that extra hour, because at the end of the day, everyone listening to this has an hour in their day, whether that hour is split into TikTok scrolling time or texting their friends or Instagram. If you want to make it happen, it will happen. And even for me with my podcast, or even you with, like, as content creators and even just as business owners, you are constantly thinking of things to create for your audience. Like you yourself are the business, and you just want to deliver more and more to your audience. And that honestly like inspired me too, because there's so many things that I want to create for my community, for my audience. And I'm like, well, I'm busy with this and I'm busy with that. But like you said, if I just put 30 minutes each morning into like achieving a little bit of that next step I want to take, it will make such a difference in the end.
And even for me now, like there's things, like you said, that I'm like, oh, I need to get to that. I need to get to that idea, or like a new product launch. Like if I'm coming up with a new product idea for Dream Daily, it's hard to fit that into an already busy schedule of creating content, shipping orders, kind of those tasks that just pop up every day. And then I get to the end of the day and I'm like, oh, it's still on my to-do list. I didn't get to that. So I need to re-implement this into my life. Even though I work for myself full time and feel like, you know, I have an open schedule, I still need that structure of being like, no, I'm going to dedicate 30 minutes a day to this product ideation and creation and designing before I get started with the rest of everything else that pops up in your day. Because everyone's busy. We're all so busy. I understand, especially students. But if it's really worth it to you, then you just have to put in that discipline to be like, okay, I'm going to sit down at my desk, put on a timer on your phone, and start working on that list.
Yeah. And then what is your kind of, just talking about all these goals and these lists and these tasks, what is your advice? I want to talk about burnout. Okay. Because college student waking up early every morning for your class to do this extra work, maybe going to the gym, whatever it is. How do you kind of maximize being productive while also avoiding that burnout? Because I know you talk about this, or you like prioritize this in your workbook. So I kind of want to hear you talk about it too.
Yeah. So I try to have days. I try to do like at least one day a week where I don't think at all about work, which is kind of big for someone who works for themselves, like has a business, like, you know, the typical entrepreneur hustle spirit is like, you're constantly thinking about your business. I've thankfully gotten to the point where I can sit down at the end of the day and watch TV or read and not be on my phone working. And then on like Sundays, I have my routine. I'm either with my boyfriend or I'm with friends. I make plans, I get out, and have that time to, again, just disconnect. Like, so that's the first thing that I think is so important, is having that one day a week. Sometimes too, sometimes I can make it a Saturday as well, where I just like literally do not open my laptop. And then, so that's the like weekly thing. But then I also have to have those daily habits where I am putting it into my everyday to help me with burnout. So like having that morning and night routine, we all know, we've heard it a million times, but it is so important. I feel like have that, those end caps on your day, because without those, I would just be like, okay, I'll wake up and get on my computer, or I'll work on my computer till I get in bed. But having those morning and night routines in place with little habits that bring me joy, like reading in the morning, journaling at night, I read fiction, I watch a movie, I play a board game with friends, like literally just putting things in your daily routine that bring you joy and that aren't work related, I find are so important for avoiding that burnout. When I was in school, it looked a little different because I was doing so much on top of like being a student, having a business, we're doing YouTube and stuff. So I wasn't able to put as many habits in my day, but I was still doing little things here or there, a workout class or grabbing coffee with a friend, or like if I had to work from a coffee shop, just having a friend come along. So you just have to like work and figure out those little pockets of time in your day where you can put habits that bring you joy and that make you happy. And not just everything has to be for like goals and work and school and the hustle of it all.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And like you said, I'll have mornings where I'll wake up and my laptop's on my bedside table and I'll grab it before I even get out of bed, before I make my coffee, before I wash my face, my laptop is on my lap. And it's like, it's the first thing I thought of when I woke up. And all of a sudden I look and it's like 3 hours went by of me doing work. And it's like, okay, great that work is done. But like, am I okay? Because I've just been staring at a screen since I woke up. So I love that you mentioned the importance of morning and night routines. What are some habits in your morning and night routine that kind of keep you from avoiding that burnout and that you find joy in and that just give you like a little bit of a break?
Yeah. And this would also be a good time. I can talk about like how to achieve those habit goals, because I know we mentioned the project ones, but for habits, first I'll say the habits that I do use. So I wake up and I do have coffee like first thing every morning. I don't have the Daily Greens habit in yet. I go straight to the coffee maker. But once I get that, I'll have like water with it too. And I'll sit down and I like to journal, read and read my Bible. So I will read my Bible, do my devotions. Then I'll read like a business, like nonfiction type of book to get me inspired for the day. And then I'll take that like motivation I get from the book and journal about it or journal about whatever I need to do that day. I'm a big journaler. And kind of how I implemented that habit into my routine is through habit stacking. And I don't know if you've talked about like the habit loop on your podcast before.
No.
Okay. So people can do more research on this too. It's from Charles Duhigg. I believe is the creator of it. And basically with every habit you have in your life, whether it's good or bad, it follows this loop where there's a cue and then you have your routine and then there's a reward. So like for like even brushing your teeth, your body follows this. So you wake up in the morning, that's your cue. You have that like bad breath taste in your mouth, that's the cue to your body like, oh, I need to go brush my teeth. So that's your routine of brushing your teeth, and then your reward is like minty fresh breath. And so everything you do follows this, which is crazy. And so basically to build healthy habits in your life and how to attack those habit goals that I mentioned earlier is to like manipulate this circle and use the habit loop to put those routines or those habits into your routine. So for example, like how I started journaling in college and making it actually a daily practice is I would use the habit of already waking up and getting coffee in the morning and just habit stacked it with having my morning coffee. So the cue would my alarm go off, like my body would crave coffee. So I go to the coffee maker, that's my routine, make my coffee. And then I would keep my journal next to my coffee maker and just grab it. And I told myself like, before I finish this cup of coffee, I have to also do journaling in the morning. And then my reward is still the same of I get caffeine and enjoy my coffee, but now I'm like adding in that extra habit, like sneaking it in there kind of. So that's kind of how you can add these healthy habits into your routine. But going back to the ones I use daily, my last morning habit, so after I do my journaling and coffee, is I'll go on a quick walk outside. Literally, it could be 10 minutes some days. It could be 45 minutes some days. Sometimes it's with a friend. Sometimes I call my mom. Sometimes, most of the time, I listen to a podcast. And again, just like a motivational podcast, something to get me motivated to work. I find also someone who's self-employed, I have to motivate myself every day because there's no one motivating me. I'm sure you get that too. It's like, no one's telling you what time to wake up. No one's telling you when to get to work. Mm-hmm. And so I have to like put those little steps to get me there in my morning routine.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, I kind of go throughout my work day. It looks different every day, but I always try to make my own dinner. So I love cooking. And to me, that's like really therapeutic and like a special time in my night. I look forward to trying new recipes and new foods. And so I get home, usually I'll cook dinner like around 6 PM. I'll put on like ambiance on my TV. So it's like a good vibe. I put on jazz music, light a candle, and just make that a really fun time. And then I sit on the couch. And like I said, sometimes I'll watch TV, love TV, love movies. So I'll just kind of have like my couch rot time and just cuddle with my cat and do whatever I need to do. And then I do my skincare routine. I do a more like in-depth skincare routine at night versus in the morning. And then I will get in bed and read a fiction book. So again, this happened like the last year of college is when I kind of got into fiction reading, and it was my favorite habit because it helps me like escape from my day and escape from my to-do list. And if you're someone who's always in your head with like what you have to do, reading fictional books, it just helps you escape from your day.
It
And
does.
it's so great. So I always finish my night with that. And that's pretty much it. Like, I'm sure you all have heard these habits before. Nothing is brand new, nothing special, but they're just things that I actually enjoy. And I've tried a lot of morning and night routines. I've been doing one since like eighth grade, I swear. And these are just out of all the ones that I've tried, the habits that stick with me and that feel the best for me. So I feel like it's a little bit of trial and error when it comes to your routines.
Yeah, definitely a lot of trial and error. There's been things that I added into my morning routine that I'm like, this is so unnecessary and makes me kind of like drag out of bed. Whereas there's things where I'm like, wow, now, like even working out, it's like I've been doing it for every day for like 3 years now. And I'm like, if I never incorporated that habit, like I don't even know what I would be doing with half of my days. And I like how you brought up too, like you have to motivate yourself because as a content creator, as someone that owns their own business, you have to be constantly inspired because you are your business. You have to take care of yourself. It's like if we're sick, we can't record episodes. We can't put out content. It's as if like you don't get like a sick, sick pay day off. It's you really do have to drag yourself out of bed. And I think that's something I struggled with a lot is I was like, oh, well, tomorrow I can wake up at 11 a.m. or 12 p.m. because I make my own schedule. And it's like, great, you're lenient enough to have your own schedule. But at the same time, it's like, is your business going to grow if you're doing that? And I was at that point last year where I wasn't really prioritizing on growing my business. And my business, went down a little bit because of it, because I was staying out later, prioritizing going out or going out with friends over doing work, and then I'd wake up late and I'd kind of just do the bare minimum of getting an episode up, but I wasn't promoting it how I could. I wasn't thinking of new ideas to like grab at a new audience. And now I'm kind of in this point where I set my alarm early, I give myself tasks that I write down, and I act as if it's someone else giving it to me because it is hard to get yourself out of bed in the morning. If you don't have to be somewhere at a certain time, it's like, great, I can sleep in a little bit more. Then it's like, no, if you want to run your own business, you have to motivate yourself every single day.
It's so true. And people ask me, like, what motivates you then? And for basic answers, like I said, podcasts, books, other creators. I love like putting on a YouTube video in the morning when I'm walking on the treadmill or while I'm getting ready and doing my hair, like that helps me. But also, like, you have to have that motivation come from yourself, like how you were saying, like, you have to realize this is important to me and no one else is going to make it happen. I want to make it happen, if I want my business to grow, if I want my following to grow, like, I have to just do this. And that kind of builds self-discipline as well, which I know is kind of a topic online, like motivation versus discipline. I think they kind of go together. I think like once you get in a disciplined routine, then you find that motivation from within. So thank you for sharing that too, 'cause about your previous year, 'cause I've totally get that as well. And literally in 2024, I was like, nope, we're done waking up late. I'm getting up at 6 a.m. Like, we gotta have that extra time in the day.
And it's hard when you don't see results right away. Like I always kind of, I feel like when I see a result, I get more motivated. It's like when you start going to the gym, you're not going to go work out once and come home and wake up the next morning and look different. It's something you have to constantly do. And it's like, I think they call it like a practice of like gratification. It's like over time, those things will work for you, but it's like you have to be very consistent. And I think that's a really hard part of having your business too. It's like you're not gonna get a paycheck right away just because you're showing up. It's like, no. You have to put in the work maybe for months, a year, 2 years before you get rewarded for it. And it's this is why a lot of people give up because they can't go through that year or 2 years of not making money and it not being worth it. And it's so easy to fall off your habits, lose motivation, wake up late, and not really put in the work because you're like, well, nothing's happening for me anyways. But then you have that one accomplishment and you're like, whoa, like this happened just for me doing this every day. Like I have to keep going.
That's actually so true and such a great point, because I think people don't see that online. If you're on the opposite side of the screen, it's either like, oh, she blew up overnight and now she makes all this money. Now she's going on brand trips. Like, I want to do that. Or it's like, and but then on the, like how you're saying, on the other side of it, like, you can work for days. I tell people, like, I always complain to my boyfriend when I'm like really feeling down about being my own boss. I'm like, I could have just worked all week, like a 40, 50 hour week and not made any money from that week. But then there's some days where, you know, you can bring in your whole month income on just a few emails you receive in one day. It is crazy. And so it's a really tough job mentally for that regard. And once I graduated, I really struggled with that because I'm like living, paying for my life, paying all my bills, all on my own work, and how not like it's not guaranteed in the industry. You know, there's so many outside factors. And so it is a big like mental health thing as well, being your own boss, and it can definitely be challenging. But like how you said, you kind of have to put in the work even when you don't see results, and it could be a year, it could be years without seeing those results. But you know, we all just have to be hopeful that like it is going to come in the end and not give in to that want for instant gratification.
Yeah, and like you said, you'll work 40, 50-hour week, nothing will come from it, and then one random brand will send you an email and be like, hey, we're paying you this much to do that, and you're like, whoa, okay, that just came out of nowhere, and it's a lot of pressure to have to constantly put in the work, and you don't know when your next paycheck is coming, you don't know how much it's going to be. What is your advice for people who, I feel like the influencer space is becoming very common now, it's a little bit oversaturated. What is your advice for someone wanting to get into the influencer space, wanting to reach out to brands? How can they start getting paid collaborations? Because I feel like a lot of people give information on it, but it's like no one actually like does it or like says how to do it. So what is your advice for someone that wants to start in that space?
Yeah. I've been doing it for, like I said, many, many years. And before I get into like specifics, just one piece of advice in general is like, you do not have to have a big following to make this your full-time job. I have not even 15,000 followers on Instagram. YouTube is my bigger platform, where I have like over 100, almost 200,000 subscribers, but it's not like I have crazy amounts of views, like, but it still is able to be my full-time job. So just a little, you know, encouragement there. If you're like, I have under 10K or I don't know, like you can just put in the work now and you never know what's going to happen from it. And you can be a full-time creator without being like this huge mega influencer, which is amazing. So for what I tell people when they're wanting to get started is to get on the platforms that make sense for you. So for me, I started with YouTube. Like YouTube is my biggest platform. So that's where I put the most time and effort into it. I still do TikTok and Instagram. I don't do Twitter. I don't do Snapchat. Don't really do Pinterest, like for marketing wise. And so find the platforms that work best for you. Find wherever you grow your biggest audience starts to grow and focus on there. So if it's TikTok, like you're getting more views on TikTok, focus most of your energy on that one platform. Don't feel like you have to add on a YouTube channel just to say you have a YouTube channel, because that just is going to take your time away from where you can see that exponential growth. Of course, everyone says post consistently. I feel like that's a huge one. And for like lifestyle creators out there, film every little thing. It's so hard to remember to do.
It is.
Like just every few days, film doing your morning coffee, film going on your walk, film getting dressed or opening up a package, just so you have like that bankroll of content. So when you're have a day where you're like, okay, this is an editing day, you can sit down and edit 15 videos from like those 2 to 3 days of just filming all these little moments. And I see a lot of creators, especially like Instagram Reels and TikTok, repurposing content. So if you took a video of you making your morning coffee and it's the same every morning, you can repurpose that in another day in the life. Like you don't have to refilm that you making that coffee every single day. If you're going to do a day in the life every day, you can of course switch it up every now and then, but don't be afraid to reuse content, because the truth is your followers aren't going to notice too much. I think when you start building a following, you're like, my followers are going to notice every little thing in my day. And the thing is, your followers also follow probably hundreds of other creators. And so they love your content for the style, not just because it's, you know, completely different every day. A lot of people like that consistent look, aesthetic, consistent, what they like knowing what to expect when they can come to your content. So I've also found that out on YouTube. It's like, stick with what I know when it comes to the types of videos that do really well. Like my monthly reset videos perform the best every month. And so you bet I'm going to do one every month, and I'm going to do the same layout and the same style and the same sections of that monthly reset, because that's what people want. And so they want to know they can click on that video and expect to see what they watched last month. So just a little tip there. But when it comes to brand deals, start by tagging brands that you use every day. So if you're posting a picture of your journal and your coffee, tag the mug, tag the journal, tag the coffee company, tag the candle that's in the background. And it doesn't even have to be like on the screen. You can move it so the tag's, you know, not even shown if you don't want it to see like you're tagging a million brands.
Yeah.
But just tag them so that they see you organically sharing their content. This is so amazing. Like when I, even now with even I have a manager and stuff who reaches out to brands for me now, but I still like if I want to work with a brand, I'll buy the product organically, use it organically in my content, tag them, create TikToks dedicated to their product of me unboxing it or me using it. And then you can use that content you've already created for them in your pitch email. So put yourself out there, pitch yourself for, you know, I'm not an expert on pricing. I feel like no one really is in this industry.
No one. Anyone I talk to when it comes to pricing, they're like, I'm like, I don't know. They're like, I don't
no,
know.
No.
It's so, because it's constantly changing. It's so uncomfortable. It's so difficult to do.
Exactly. So this may be where you have to like kind of do your own research and figure out what, you know, your follower amount, the quality of content you bring to the table, the brand budget. Like the bigger the brand, usually the bigger the budget. So you have to like take that into consideration, but literally just start pitching these brands by finding their emails on LinkedIn or their websites, or start with an Instagram DM, make it sound professional, you know, and focus when I pitch or when I did pitch for myself is like focus on what they gain from you working with them. I think a lot of influencers are like, I would love to have this product for free and I'll post about it. But instead be like, I would love to share this product with my audience because they're the exact age group you're looking for. And, you know, you had this campaign that did really well recently. I'd love to replicate it, but in this, you know, new way. And so really focus on what you can give them and bring to the table versus just what you want from the brand.
Yeah, that was a really good last piece of advice of like telling the brand, because you make it known, like, I know your brand. I'm not just sending out this max email and just adding, like, you can do the same format, but just adding that one paragraph that's different for each company so that they know, because they probably get so many emails like that every day where it's like, what is going to make you different? Because this field is so oversaturated and popular now that it's like, you have to share your creative ideas. Why should they be trusting you showcasing their product? So I really liked that last piece of advice. And yeah, I do feel like that space is getting very popular, but in a great way, because it's like everyone's kind of controlling their own income in a way. And it's kind of like free way of marketing, depending if you're doing like, depending how you're doing. Like for us, we can freely market our podcast because of social media, which is like very unheard of. Something I want to talk about too is the pressure after college, because most of my audience is either in college, graduating college, entering college, just kind of in their 20s. And I think post-grad, I'm suffering the post-grad, like, what am I doing with my life right now too? And it's so overwhelming. And when you have your own business, it's great to have that option to fall back on and something to keep growing. But it's also like, do I want to make a stable income instead? Do I want to do the corporate world? So talk to us a little bit about your experience when you graduated college, and then anyone listening who doesn't really know which path to take.
I love talking about this because I thought I was prepared for post-grad and was not in a few ways. So I decided that my senior year of college, I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to put in the work. I'm going to hustle this year to be able to do YouTube and influencing and then my business full time. So that was my plan. I was really thankful I didn't have to apply to jobs or anything because I was noticing my friends applying to jobs. It seemed really stressful. And I'm like, wow, I'm so blessed. I'm so grateful. I just get to work for myself, which is amazing. But then I actually graduated and moved out on my own. My best friend moved to California for a job. And so I went from living with my best friend to then living alone. A lot of my other friends moved out of Nashville for post-grad for their other jobs. And so immediately I was like, what is this? I wake up in the morning, like how we said, no one tells you what to do. I was doing well in college, like with the structure. Like, yes, I had a lot on my plate and I was really busy, but I kind of figure out the system. That's why I created the workbook. I figured out how to make time for my business and for YouTube and school. And like, I knew how to work within that structure, but then they took the structure away. And I was like, wait, what do I need to actually focus on? I have all this time in my day. I had never had that much time in my life because I was a busy high school student, busy college student. I now had all this time on my hands, none of my friends around. So I was just by myself all day, had never felt so lonely. I talked about this a lot on my YouTube channel and in vlogs at the time. I'm like, guys, I can go days without seeing and like interacting with another human being. And it's not good. It is not good at all. So I really struggled for the first year, like really up until 6 months ago. I struggled a lot with my mental health, like started going to therapy, realized like, okay, I need to make solid plans with friends in my life for the weeknights because they may be tired after a work day, but like I need to make the effort to like go over to their house to watch TV or things to be able to like see my friends on a consistent basis. So, like I have that to look forward to. I ended up being able to get a small office space like 6 months in, which helped me like separate work from being in my studio apartment to then having an office space to go to, which I know not everyone can do, but it just, I was like, I don't care the cost. This is a cost not only for my business, but for my mind and my mental health to be able to feel like I actually have a job, because that's the other thing. It's like it doesn't feel real. I don't know if you felt this like graduating, but it's like, how am I making money from just like getting on my computer and like
just being myself? It's so weird.
It's so weird. Like I know how it works. Like I know brands.
It's like imposter syndrome. It's like, what makes me worthy of making money off of this? And like, why are people watching me and listening to me?
No, that's definitely it. I had huge imposter syndrome. I'm like, why do I have this business? Like, why are people buying, or why are people following me still? And so I definitely, like you said, struggled with that transition right out of college. And so even if you feel like you're the most prepared person, know that you may have some things change. I had to make a lot of new friends in Nashville. I had to put myself out there more. It wasn't like college anymore where your friends are just built into your daily routine and schedule. It's like, I have to make an effort. I have to drive, you know, 30, 45 minutes out on a weeknight to be able to go hang out with people because I want to build these connections. And at the end of the day, having, again, the morning and night routine, it really helped me set up and add some kind of structure to my day. And then also like booking workout classes, getting out of my house for coffee, work days, things like that. You know, I'm sure you've all heard these things before, but they really do help when you're needing that structure.
Yeah, I think structure is such a good word to use if you're going at it, because in college, at least even when you have your own business and you're in college, you know what times your classes are, you know what times to schedule meetings, recordings. Whereas when you're not in school, it's like, oh my goodness, like I'm overwhelmed with how much time I have. Like, why am I not using enough of this time? And I think it's also important to remember, your first job out of college is not your career. If you decide to do your own business and then after a year of graduating and doing your own business, you're like, you know what? I want to try the corporate field. You can go ahead and do that. It's like, I think we put so much pressure on like what we're doing now is what we do forever. And it's like, no, you can change your mind at any given time. Anytime you want to change your mind, you have the power and the opportunity to do that. So it's like, don't put so much pressure on like, this has to work out and this is my only thing. It's like, no, if you change your mind, that's totally okay.
For sure. That was another aspect is the pressure of it all. The pressure from like, I need to see growth, and also the pressure of like, I need to make enough money to pay my bills at the end of the month and all of that. And I had to kind of reframe my viewpoint after a few months, because I was just like, oh, I'm not seeing growth here, or I'm not making as much as I thought I wanted to make. And I had to say like, Hannah, it is amazing that you're just able to work for yourself at 23 years old. I was like, that in itself is a feat, and you should be really proud of yourself. So even if you don't see growth on your socials or in your business for the next year, like just the fact that you're making ends meet at the end of the month is in itself a success, an accomplishment. And so whatever that may be for you guys, maybe it's the fact that you can pay for your groceries with the money you make from social media, or you can, you know, get some free products for it to change up your routine and your hair care routine. Like whatever, you have to kind of reframe that success looks like to help yourself keep going.
Yeah, exactly. And I think with how people showcase success on social media, it's very easy to compare yourself to other people's journeys and say, my friend is making 80 grand out of college and I'm only making 30 grand. It's like, I always say comparison is the thief of joy, because you'll think you're doing great and then you'll see someone doing greater and you let it diminish what you've accomplished. And it's like, I could sit here and I could look at 23-year-old millionaires and be like, I'm not doing enough. I'm doing so bad. But then I can also sit here and look at 23-year-olds who don't have a job and aren't in school and are doing nothing with their lives. It's like, you can't compare your journey to other people's. And you just have to realize, like, you're on this path because God wants you on this path right now. And this is where you're meant to be. And I always say, like, just put in the work and the dreams and opportunities will chase you. Like, once you've had enough, once you put in enough work, God will do the rest for you. But it's like, you can't just, like, put a picture on your vision board and sit back like this and be like, can't wait for it to come true. It's like, no, put in the work to also achieve that.
Exactly. I know. I see that a lot. I think around this time, some people are like, vision boards are so cheesy. Like, how do you guys expect that to work? Or some people are like, oh, okay, I made my vision board. Like, I'm good. I just have to look at it every day and that's it.
Yeah.
And I find that it's, yes, they work, but I put things on my vision boards that I know I have, like, the tools and the mindset to work towards. Like, I'm not going to put something. Yeah. It's like, okay, I'm reminding myself, my brain, my subconscious is realizing, like, yes, that can happen. That can happen. That can happen. You just have to keep showing up, and put in that work.
Exactly. I love that. So I feel like we covered so many amazing things. Yeah. Something I love doing at the end of each episode is I love asking my guest, what is their favorite quote that they live by? I'm such a quotes girl. I love quotes. So I would love to hear a quote that you kind of remind yourself here and there when times are getting tough or you just need to be a little bit more optimistic.
Yeah, I love this. Love quotes. So I found this one on Pinterest and it says, doubt kills more dreams than failure ever will. And that's by Susie Kasem. Mm-hmm. And I love that because I think a lot of us let doubt control our goals and, like, control our lives. And we're like, oh, I'll never, you know, be an influencer. So why should I even start? Or I'm not good enough. I don't have enough money to do that kind of job, or whatever it is. Like, doubt is in everyone's minds. Like, we all doubt ourselves, but you kind of just have to push past that. And like it said, it kills more dreams than failure ever will, because something with having Dream Daily and my business specifically is I've learned that every failure is a lesson, and it's cliche, but every little thing that I do. And like, if I have a launch that doesn't go well, I'm like, okay, sure, you could say that was a failure, but also, like, I learned I shouldn't do this next time. And people want to see more of this. People like this color instead of this color. And so you're always learning through that, and it takes that risk. So when you take a risk and you go after your goals and your dreams, you're going to get something from it either way, whether it's a great success or it's a failure and you learn something from it. But just doubting yourself and never starting, like, nothing's going to change with that.
You're right.
So I liked that. I like that quote.
I love that. And I always say, like, it's not failure unless you didn't get up. Like, if you fail, let's say you go to start a podcast and you get canceled after day one, it's like, you didn't fail if you upload another episode tomorrow. It's like, you fail when you give up and you're like, this isn't for me anymore. But if you keep going, you have not failed yet.
Exactly. Yeah.
So before we go, tell us where everyone can find you. I'm definitely going to link your planner, your workbook, all your socials down below, but just for everyone listening so that they know where to find you and get more of your knowledge.
Of course. So like I said, my YouTube is Hannah Ashton. Ashton is spelled A-S-H-T-O-N. And then my personal TikTok and Instagram are Miss Hannah Ashton. And then Dream Daily, you can find everything at Shop Dream Daily, so shopdreamdaily.com. And I would also love to give a little discount to your listeners if they want to buy a planner or a journal. So maybe we'll just do, like, you can let me know what kind of code, how you want to do that, and we'll put it up there for you guys. But yeah, if you guys are interested in a new planner or journal for the new year, you can shop us there.
Perfect. That's so exciting. Yeah, we'll definitely discuss that and link it down below, because even after listening to this, I'm like, I need to get one of those right now. But I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing all of your tips. It has been so amazing. And I know it probably helped so many women that listen to this that are just feeling overwhelmed and stressed and wanting to start their business. So thank you so much for coming on.